God bless you, preacher. Open your Bible, please, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message I believe the Lord would have us to in this hour this evening. I appreciate the Lord, appreciate the blessings of the Lord and the privilege to be here. I do appreciate Brother Hall, Sister Hall, and the Island Ford Baptist Church, as well as many other friends that are gathered with us tonight. And then I appreciate those that are listening by the radio. I hope you tune us in each day on the broadcast. God's been so gracious to us. I was sharing with Brother Hall just a little bit ago before service started. We're in our third week, I suppose it is now, of our newest addition to the radio list. It makes us 92 broadcasts a day. And I preached 2 weeks on it, and a church called me from the area, and they're paying the whole bill. $300 a month. Amen. Amen. He'd done it before. He can do it some more. And all of that started right here in this meeting. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Brother Hall will have a great reward, a great portion of the reward for what's been accomplished in the radio ministry. God's been so good to us and allowed us all these open doors. And I praise Him and I bless Him for it. Let me just say a couple of things. I do appreciate you praying for me. I'm doing well as far as I know. I'm just almost back to normal. As far as my stamina and my ability to is concerned, my speed of preaching, and God so blessed us. I went back just a few weeks ago for a six-month checkup, and there's no evidence of any cancer remaining in my body, as far as they could tell by the test they done then. And they'll do another major test in 6 months, and so you continue to pray for us. God will bless us and use us, and the Lord's will be done. And you do pray for that. Then continue praying for our daughter. I'll mention maybe more about her later, but Rachel has had this rare disease, incurable disease, for 17 years now, going on 18, and it's really taking a toll on her life. This summer, she had a real bad attack in February, 34 years old, and she can only move now with a walker. It attacked her motor nerves. She can only move in very short distance, maybe to the kitchen, to the bedroom, to the bathroom, and back to her recliner. Do pray for her. God would bless her and use her. Thank you, church. I know you've been praying for her. Many of you who are visiting have been praying for her as well. God's still on the phone. And He's still answering the phone. And God still said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You say, Brother Bruno, do you understand this? All this happening? No. And I want to tell you something. If your spirituality depends upon you understanding what God's doing, you'll be down most of the time. But I'm glad God chooses to veil our eyes from some things and do that that we don't know, we don't understand, and we cannot explain. That doesn't make Him any less God. He's God, He's God, He's God. And I praise Him for the very privilege that I have of knowing Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm tired like you are. I know there's food in the fellowship hall, and that's always hard to keep people awake long enough for that and still long enough for that. But I tell you what, now if you get real sleepy, just reach up and slap yourself on the side of the face. If that don't wake you up, slap the person sitting beside you. They probably will wake you up then, sure enough. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would, please, for the reading word of God, Brother Hall. Thank you for the privilege to come back. And I'm honored to have you as my friend and your church as friends. And I've been a part of this ministry in this meeting for so many years. God has been so good to us in every meeting. Every meeting God's met with us. And I trust He'll do so. I look forward to hearing a lot of good preaching from these other men tomorrow. And you pray for God's will to be done. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Notice verse number 2. The Bible said, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know what verse number 3 says? No evolutionist has faith. And no person of faith can be an evolutionist. Amen. Evolution takes care, faith takes care of understanding the creation. I can believe the creation account a whole lot longer than I can the Big Bang theory. All creation is that God stepped from nowhere to nowhere, stepped from nothing to nothing, spoke 8 times, let there be. Everything He said come to pass just like He said it. And everything that is came into existence by the creative power of the Word of God. And everything continues, it consists, Colossians says, by the power of the Word of God. Why should I worry? He's in control. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Then I want to preach a while tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before You again to pray. Lord, I do want to say thank You for the joy of salvation. Thank You again, dear Lord, You let me be born in America. You let me hear the gospel. You saved me, dear Lord, by Your grace. You called me to preach. You put me in the ministry. You've kept me there, dear Lord, all of these years. Father, I confess tonight, all that I am, or ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee, dear Lord. Father, I pray this evening now that You will help me to preach the preaching that You've laid upon my heart. You do know the tiredness of my body, the condition that I'm in tonight, in every aspect. And dear Lord, I'm sure not complaining, but I pray tonight that You will lift me up in the power of Your own presence. And may the Word of God come alive tonight. Now, I know You said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, I pray, dear Lord, tonight You fill us with joy. Lord, help every person here tonight. May we all be like young Samuel. May we say, speak, Lord, Thy servant heareth Thee. Please, dear Lord, I ask You this evening, may no one walk out these doors tonight without hearing from God. Say something to every person. And do something, Father, in every life to the glory and the honor of Yourself. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with Your Spirit. Fortify me the Scriptures as I preach tonight. May Your precious will be accomplished in the service tonight. And for all You do, Father, I'll give You praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, this evening for the message for tonight from the Word of God. Let me call your attention back to verse number 2 for our text verse tonight. The Bible said in verse number 2, For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I jotted this down while I was in the motel studying a little earlier today. You know, real Christians, we do not do things by faith to obtain a good report. We don't just serve God to build a name for ourselves. I said, real Christians do not. Amen? But here's what I like. When you're not trying to build a name for yourself, but you're glorifying God, God will make you and enable you to obtain a good report. I like Jesus, our example in Philippians chapter number 2. The Bible said that He made Himself of no reputation. And you know what happened? God gave Him a name that is above every name. If we had stopped trying to make a name for ourselves and start lifting up the name of Christ, then God would give us a name that's above any name we could ever make for ourselves. But the Bible said through faith, the elders obtained a good report. I want to preach for a while this evening on this subject. Does your faith affect you? Does your faith affect you? Or I might turn it around and put it this way. What are the effects of your faith in your life? Can I not be too mean and say this to start off with? I see a lot of people that claim they have faith. And the sad truth is, for many, it has no effect on them. They live like people of no faith. They act like people of no faith. They talk like people of no faith. But faith, if it's real, will affect you. And let me make this statement. Don't expect your faith to affect others until it first affects you. A faith that's going to conquer anything in this work of God must first conquer self. Does your faith affect you? And I started down through this chapter, and I'm just going to go as the Holy Spirit directs me to. But I want you to notice in verse number 4, we learn that faith affected Abel's worship. Now, I could just preach in there for the whole hour and bog in, but I want to say to you, real faith affects worship. And I remind you, the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. Real faith affects your worship. Now, I could spend a lot of time there, but let me just give you two thoughts real quickly. First of all, I want you to notice that Abel's faith affected the sacrifice that he gave. Now watch this statement. Faith is not me telling God what I'm going to do. Faith is me doing what God said do. I know of no better definition of faith than to simply say to you, that is in direct obedience to what God says do. Now what did God say to do? God had told Adam, no doubt Adam passed it down to his boys, that there were some qualifications when it came to worship. Oh, may I say, this generation needs to learn that. This generation, like Cain, has a concept that whatever they choose to do for God must be accepted by God. I want to tell you something. God does not accept that. That is contrary to His own word and His own will. God's not looking for plan B. God's not looking for information. God is looking for obedience. And faith was able to offer the right kind of sacrifice. May I say on the other side, it was the absence of faith that caused Cain to believe that he could get God to take something else other than what God said. Faith honors God's word. It affected the sacrifice that Abel gave. But not only it affected the sacrifice that Abel gave, but his faith affected his standing with God. Now I want you to listen. We need to hear this. Maybe we'll get some missions out of this. That's why I'm getting faith out of it anyway. We'll get the promise later. But God is not required by any man to accept our ideas of what worship is. Amen. Boy, I go ahead and say it. There's a lot blamed on worship. That worship's not around. But faith will affect your sacrifice, and then faith gives you a standing with God. You see, when Cain brought his fruit to the ground and Abel brought his sacrifice, God accepted Abel's sacrifice and he rejected Cain's. And may I say to you, our service, if it's a faith, it's accepted. But if it's not a faith, it will be rejected by God. Boy, there's just a lot of mean stuff rising up in me, hard stuff right now. But I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot of stuff being blamed on God, even under the skies of missions, that is not biblical missions whatsoever. Somebody can start something, name it missions, and somebody will support him. Amen. But I'm saying to you, God, our honored Abel because the sacrifice that he gave affected his standing with God. And friend, when our faith is right, that will affect our sacrifice, and it does affect our standing. Hallelujah. God blesses those that give sacrifice by faith. Do what God says, and God will honor it, and God will bless it. I've got to get off of this, but let me make one more statement. I want to make it again. God is not obligated to bless what I think. The way I feel, how I see it. But I want to tell you, if you can put your finger on it in the Word of God and claim what God says in that Word by faith, then I say it, it'll work. God will make it work. God will honor it. And God will honor you when you honor God by faith. Affected Enoch. Affected Cain and Abel. And it affected Abel and his worship. Then in verse number 5 and 6. We see that faith, the faith of Enoch affected his walk. And I want you to hear me. Real faith still affects our walk. I'm sorry if you get upset at that, but I'm telling you, faith will cause you to walk with God. I've just had it with this crowd that claims to be peace people or persons of faith, and it doesn't cause them to walk with God. Right. And by the way, to make sure you understand, you can't walk with God and walk contrary to His Word. Right. Amen. I look at, and I love the study of Enoch, and I don't most of you preach this, but you know, faith, it was faith that worked in Enoch's life. In what we call his transformation. I was thinking about this afternoon. I would not argue this. But it appears in the Bible, Brother Larry, that three things happened to Enoch on his 65th birthday. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying it appears that way in the Word of God. You say, what happened to him? Well, number one, he became a daddy. Number two, he became a believer. Number three, he became a preacher. Can I say, wow, what a 65th birthday that was. Amen. But you know what happened? You know what brought it to pass? Of course, he got this little boy and named him Methuselah. And that name means when he's gone, it's finished. When he's gone, judgment falls. And God used the naming of that boy to speak to this man by the name of Enoch. And Enoch changed his life and started walking with God and walked with God for 300 years. Hey, faith does still transform people. It will change their walk. But not only you see his transformation, but then faith affected his transportation. He walked with God. Amen. He walked with God. Can I say this, lest you, like I've done so many times, allow your mind to get the wrong concept? Enoch couldn't see God. Enoch couldn't feel God. See, we got this concept of, you know, a picture of Enoch and God walking side by side like I would walk with you. But Enoch didn't have a Bible. For as I know, was not indwelt with the Holy Spirit as we are. But for 300 years, he walked with God. Now, I'm not too smart, but you might know how to write this down. If you're going to walk with somebody, there's three things it's an absolute must. Number one, there's got to be a meeting place. If I called you and said, let's go walk in the morning, first words you'd say, where are we going to meet at? Then number two, not only is there going to be a meeting place, but there's got to be a marked path. Which way are they going to go? Number three, there's got to be a mutual pace. You can get ahead of somebody, walk with him or behind him. But if you walk together, you've got to have a meeting pace, a marked path, and a mutual pace. Well, I tell you, I feel like having a running spell right now. I want to tell you, the meeting place where men meet God is where the blood is. The marked path where you walk with God is what the Bible says. And the mutual place is directed by the blessed Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. We can still walk with God in these days. Faith affects his translation. It affects his transformation, affects his transportation. And then faith affects his translation. Amen. Yeah. One day, Enoch walked with God. And the Bible said he was not. Because God took him. Houston has their astronauts. Russia has their cosmonauts. But Enoch became a was not. In Kentucky, it might be a was not. Amen. But I'm saying, thank God, faith that only worked for transformation and the salvation of Enoch, that worked for transportation. He walked with God for 300 years, but it affected a translation. One day, God took him. Did I say hallelujah? Whether by the clouds or the clouds, one day He'll call for us. He'll take us. This journey of faith is going to end in us leaving here and going to be with our blessed Lord. Number three, watch this. For Abel, his faith affected his worship. For Enoch, his faith affected his walk. For Noah, his faith affected his work. Now I want to make another statement. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I'm not really critical. You can call me that if you want to. I'm not judgmental. You can call me that if you want to. But I want to tell you something. Real faith works. We're not saved by works. But saving faith does work. Can I say it this way? If your faith don't work, it won't work. Amen, you get it? By the way, if it don't work now, it won't work then. Faith caused Noah to build that ark. Work! Can you imagine talking to Noah? Where's the blueprint at? I remember when I was a young man, I had learned to lay some brick, and the man who taught me to lay brick, we're building a two-story house, and we brought built a fireplace in the basement, brought a chimney up through the floor into the first floor, and then split that thing up and put a fireplace on one side of the wall for the living den area, and on the other side for the kitchen dining area. And we brought three chimneys up together. Didn't put all in one, it wouldn't draw. Put three chimneys up together. And some sophisticated guy come in there and said, where's the blueprint on this? That fellow's pretty bald headed. He pulled his cap off. You can see them blood veins. He said, right there it is. Amen. But Noah was caused to work by his faith. Can I say this? Noah's work did not produce faith. It's Noah's faith that produced works. And as I looked at Noah, I jotted down these three things. I mentioned, first of all, the time when Noah worked. Now, I want to tell you, if I could say it in Georgia language, it's pretty rough. Spiritually, when Noah walked with God. There are three things, Brother Shepherd, that were dominant in Noah's day that is so prominent in our day today. Number one, it was a time when they rejected the message of God's servant. Even so is it tonight. The mature was a time when they rejected the moving of God's Spirit. Even so is it tonight. Number three, there was a time when they rejected the means of God's salvation. And that's still true tonight. You say, well, it's just a difficult time. It's always difficult. There's never been, that I know of, a good time to serve God. I've never run into one in these nearly 51 years I've been preaching. Amen. Amen. I live in what they call the good old days. I got in on the last days of the revival times of the 50s and 60s. I know a little bit about that. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of battles in them days. Brother Hardin, you've been preaching a little longer than I have. I believe back when we started, they were different battles. But they sure enough were battles, weren't they? Amen. If you want to be blessed, just get some of those old preachers. If you could find somebody in the Ed Blue age, 20 years older than I am, 18 years older than I am, and you let them tell them those days when they began. Amen. Hey, if you're waiting for an easy time to serve God, forget it. The time that Noah served God and worked for God, it was a biblical dark time. Then what's notice number two? There's the testing when Noah worked for God. The testing. All of those years of preaching, Noah has no congregation accumulated. Can you imagine working day after day after day after day? Progress so slow. It didn't seem like he was accomplishing anything. You know, most of us, we don't mind working ourselves, you know, just wide open as long as we're seeing something accomplished. But when you take one step forward and two steps back, you gain one family and lose two more. You pick up one new preacher friend and you lose two more. Amen. The length of the time that he works on this, no doubt was a testing of his faith. Hey, can I say it? Can I say it? There's a lot of people willing to start, but there's not many that will endure the time and the test and stay with it. Till the job is done for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how long Noah was building the ark. I know it was 120 years from the time he pronounced that judgment in Genesis 6:3 until he went into it. The only thing I know, if you can help me out, help me. Brother Hall, God told him to build it for him and his wife and three sons and their wives. So they must have been married when he told them to build it. And Shem was 98 when they went into the ark. It could have very easily been 60 years, 70 years. I don't know how long it took. I don't know. And God leaves it, I think, unspecified. Because He wants you and I not to rely upon some definite time. This battle, this work's going to be over and we're going to have an easy riding time. God wants us to stay with a job till our job is done. Be it short or be it long, stay with us, stay with us, stay with it. If it's worth doing it all, it's worth doing it all. Amen. Stay with it. Watch this, number three. Not only is it testing, there's a time, there's a testing, but there's the triumph. Faith always triumphs. One day in chapter number 7, God said to Noah, come, thou and thy family into the ark. Come, thou and thy family into the ark. Now, the wording of that, just hearing it, would be a great payday. But one day, in chapter number 7, I believe it's verse maybe number 7, Noah watches something. You know what he sees? I don't know how it happened, Brother Shepherd. I don't know the custom of that day. But if I were to say it today, it's like Brother Hall, Noah stood by the door and watched his wife go in. Watch this. Three sons and their wives go in. And then went in himself. And God shut the door. I want to tell you something, friend. The triumph of working for God is God saving our families. And when the rapture takes place, there'll not be a split family. There'll not be a partial family. But God saved his wife, and God saved his sons, and God saved his daughter-in-laws, and the whole family went in that ark together. I know of nothing greater than laboring for God and laboring for God and seeing God save your children and your in-laws and your grandchildren and going together in the place God's prepared for us. Number four, it affected Abel's worship, Enoch's walk, Noah's work. But number four, it affected Abraham's whereabouts. I want to say this and we'll get a little quieter. Faith has a way of placing you, not where you choose to be placed, but where God's purpose and plan for your life is. From what I understand in the scripture, Pastor, it seems that Abraham was what we would call a fairly successful man in Ur of Chaldees. They tell us that was a rather prospering place in Abraham's days. Abraham, no doubt, has got his house. He's got his family. He's got his friends. He's got his financial security. He's got it all fixed up. And then God butts in. And God said, Abraham, I want you to leave Ur of Chaldee. So in verse number 8, we find him leaving at the command of God. God said, you got to go. You got to go. And can I remind you, had he not went, he would have never been known as the friend of God and the father of the faith. I don't want to be humorous when I say this, but can you imagine meeting Abraham as he and his family leaves, he and his wife and his nephew Lot leave. Of course, they leave Ur of Chaldees, daddy and brother still, but later on then they go on. If you could have seen Abraham and Lot and Sarah walking up the road, and you said to him, hey, Mr. Abraham, where are you going? You know what he'd say? I don't know. How long are you going to stay? I don't know. What are you going to do when you get there? I don't know. Can I repeat this now? Real faith creates a whole lot of I don't know to the fleshly side of our life. When you came to this place 30 years ago, how long it's been? 24 years ago? There was a whole lot of, I know we talked about it. You told me how God told you ahead of time you was coming. You knew God was going to, but boy, there's a whole lot of I don't knows. I don't know. I don't know. I bid farewell to the pastor 29 years ago on Friday morning. I realized I'm getting my last check on Sunday. And I woke up, all I know is I woke up with holy heartburns. I mean, there's something burning inside me. And can I say it? There's a whole lot of I don't know. But there's one thing I did know. God said, get out. God said, go. And when you move and you leave at the command of God, you leave with the commodities of God available to you. Amen. Leaving at the command of God. Oh, we don't like to leave our comfort zone. Most of you know what I'm fixing to say. It will be repeated, I'm sure. Brother Hall mentioned it. We talked about it a little bit ago. And it was here in this meeting 9 years ago that the Harvest Time broadcast was birthed. And it was birthed in his heart and my heart by him putting the pressure on me to do it. And I told you no. I went on to another church the next week and I shared it with the pastor while we was eating lunch. And three nights later, Brother Harden, he got up and started raising money to buy recording equipment. And I almost told him no. And the Holy Ghost, as fast as I could think, said, "Let it alone. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know the future." For these 9 years, God has miraculously blessed it and grown it and paid the bills. Amen. And used it to the glory of God. But I'm telling you, I told you that day, I'm 60 years old. I need to be laying down something, not picking up something. It's time for me to look at something I can get out of instead of get into. But I am so glad you insisted. I'm so glad you obeyed God. I'm glad I obeyed God. I'm glad that young preacher obeyed God and raised that money. I tell you, you're looking tonight at a satisfied customer of living the life of faith. That video bill runs over $5,000 a month and God's had no problem paying it. And he's done it before, he can do it again. I'm saying to you, when you leave at the command of God, God will have a provision ready when we obey God. He's leaving at the command of God. Then by faith, you see him in verse number 9, he's living in a country of God. I thought about this. You think about this in the line of missions. He's living in the country that God wants him in, but he's not at home. Because in verse number 10, he's looking for a city. Yeah. I'm glad I don't care what country you live in. If you got faith, your eyes will not settle down on that mission field or on that home church where you're at. I'm telling you, Brother Herbert, you can go to the far eastern shore, but that don't become home. No, it's just a time of abiding, sojourning in a land, and sojourning in a place where God's put us. It's living in the country of God, but it's looking for the city of God. I'm glad I can say this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I don't fit at home in this world anymore. Thank God I got my eyes on a city. I'm headed for a city that had foundations. Whose builder and maker is God. By faith, it affected Abraham's whereabouts. Can I slow down long enough to ask you the question? Are you residing in a place where faith puts you? To all you men that are pastoring, you ought to be pastor where you're at because your faith puts you there. Amen. If you're a missionary, you ought to be doing mission work because your faith puts you there. But all the time you're living in that country of God, don't ever lose sight of the city of God. The Bible said that these died not having received the promises, but they embraced them. Hallelujah. I may not live till the rapture takes place, but I want to tell you, I've embraced the promises in that. Amen. Whether I go over the clouds or clods, I'll be there anyway. I'm going to shout it out both ways. Amen. But we see that faith, the fact that Abraham's whereabouts. I got to stay another minute there. I was listening today as we drove up. We picked up a gospel station somewhere. And they had Brother Tommy Tillman. Been in Thailand 50 years, I guess. Worked on all them lepers. And he told some of those experiences. He's telling experiences. I've seen so many men, so many families going to places that my flesh said, man, I wouldn't want to go there. I wouldn't want to go there. You know why? My faith's not leading me there. Now, you think I ain't took a step of faith? I left Tennessee and went to Georgia by faith. That's got to be faith. Amen. Amen. I know Paul said, I've learned whatever state I'm in therewith to be content, but he didn't live in Georgia. Amen. Look at this one now. And ladies, I don't want to be disrespectful. I don't know what to make out of this. But except just said is this. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now here's a lady that's 90 years old. Preacher, I'm not being disrespectful. When she heard that news, she said, shall I have pleasure again? Am I going to get to have the opportunity to conceive? I know she laughed. I know she had to wait a while. But there came a time when he's 100. She's 90. She started enjoying morning sickness. Y'all forgive me. I can't use your mind. I got thinking this afternoon. Now, I know it's a different time. But I was thinking about driving to the hospital. Here's this 100-year-old man pushing in a 90-year-old wife in a wheelchair. And I want to say to him, can I help you, sir? He said, no, I'm fine. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, she's about to have a baby, can't you see? I could spend a lot of time here, but here's what I want to say to you. Faith enables the unable to do what God chooses and pleases to do. Faith takes our inability and replaces it with God's ability. Oh, there's so many things and so many times I just have to say, Lord, I can't. But I'm glad God. I got to do a study on this, preacher. That word infirmity. Holy Spirit, help with our infirmities. Romans chapter 8, I guess it is, verse 26. And then it's another over there where Christ help with our infirmities. That word infirmity means the inability to produce. The inability to produce. Boy, I'm glad that God, can I say it, can inject what's needed to do the job that is beyond our ability to produce. God can do what we can't do. God will enable us to do what we cannot do. If I could use our expression, little old Rachel, Genesis chapter number 30, cried out to Jacob, give me children, or El Shaddai, give me children or let me die. Hannah cried out to God and God opened her womb. Faith enables us to do that which we're unable to do in and of ourselves. Let me just mention a couple more and I got to close. Sarah is mentioned. Jacob is mentioned in verse number 20-21. His worship. Joseph is mentioned in verse number 22. But I want to look at Moses for just a moment in verse number 23 down through verse number 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Faith affected Sarah's womb. Faith affected Moses' mother's womb. And faith affected her wisdom. Let her see something in that boy that nobody else could see. I don't want that to soak in a minute. Faith! Let her see something in that boy that nobody else could see.
And faith took away the fear of the king's commandments.
Faith caused her to reverence and respect God more than the words of the wicked king. And she's got a baby boy to prove faith paid off. If you notice in verse 24 and 25, you find in verse number 24, there's Moses' refusal. Faith will cause you to refuse some things. I want to say that again. We're in such a generation of all positive preaching till nobody wants to preach against things anymore. Brother Hart and I got a call the other night. They were having a young preacher's meeting, about six or seven young preachers going to preach 15 minutes of preach. And then they wanted me to charge them when they got through. I never said this before, but I walked in the pulpit and I said, well, if I start to charge my car battery, I hook up a positive post and I hook up a negative. Yeah. So if I'm going to charge you fellas, I'm going to hook up a positive line and I'm going to hook up a negative line. And I'm going to shoot it, both of them at you. Amen. Amen. Faith. If it's real faith. Can I say it this way? Will cause you to say,
Right.
A faith that don't cause you to refuse wrong is not a genuine faith. Can I say what I want to say? It take me too long to name. I'm just going to say it this way. There's a lot of things that I don't do. And it's not that I don't do them because my pastor preaches against them. I had most of them same conviction before I ever met my pastor. And it's not because I'm afraid of what somebody else is going to say. There's something inside me that says, Don't do that. Faith will cause you to refuse wrong. So you can enjoy right. Moses' refusal. And then you see Moses' reasoning. Verse number 25. The Bible said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of God. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Faith will cause you to think right. Are you listening to me? Faith will cause you to look on down the road and take a long look at what's going to be the results of this thing. Well, the great tragedy of our generation is everybody's living for the moment. Without any consideration what it's going to cost on down the road. Verse number 27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And here it is, for he endured as seeing him that is invisible. Seeing him that is invisible. That sounds like a total paradox, an untrue statement. But it's not true with faith. Faith that you see him whom the physical eye cannot see. We walk through these valleys. And preacher, I can't see him. But then I do see him. Some nights I can't hear him. But by faith I do hear him. Sometimes it looks, as the songwriter said, like God's a million miles away. But by faith, I embrace him. He goes to bed with me. I tell him good night. Tell him I love him. Look over at him and say, Lord, you don't mind me telling you again I love you, do you? And he's never told me shut up and go to sleep.
Say it again.
He likes it. He likes it. Our problem is we've got our mind on too many physical things. And we're missing what faith wants us to focus on. The invisible. Can I just mention one more in closing? Verse number 31. I love this. By faith. I'm talking about, does your faith affect you? By faith, Rahab the harlot. Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies in peace. Can you imagine how foolish what her instructions seemed like if there was no faith there?
She said, I've protected you fellows now. Protect me. Remember me.
When you come back. And they said, if you'll put this scarlet cord. She said, cord out the window. Scarlet cord out the window.
Will we come back?
We'll get you out. Before the judgment falls on this wall. That would be about as difficult explaining that scarlet thread as it would building an ark in a dry place in the place that had never rained. Amen. Faith sometimes can be foolish to your flesh. I mean, it's just, if you have to explain, you can't explain it. But can you imagine, here's a little lady. Only hope she's got is these men that told her, if you put that scarlet cord there, when we come back, we will be back. We'll get you out for the wrath falls. I wonder how many times she walked outside to look and see if that cord still hanging there. One day they surrounded the city. They marched around it 6 times, one day a week for 6 days. On the seventh day, 7 times. I don't know when exactly it happened, Brother Hall, but sometime before they marched around that wall fell. He sent them same spies back in there and said, go get Rahab out. Can I just make a little bit of prophetical application? The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Shed His blood! And told me that if I would trust in that blood, in the Lord Jesus Christ, before the tribulation ever comes on this earth, He'd come and get me out.
Amen.
It may be foolish to the world,
but it's faith to those of us that are saved. In this time of no peace, in this time of all the trouble and turmoil, and the world is going crazy and don't know what to do about it, I want to tell you down in my soul, there's peace tonight that only God can give. You say, preacher, it doesn't look right out there. Well, quit looking out. Start looking up.
Any moment.
Who will come could come. Our faith will end in sight. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. It's been many years since I preached through that chapter in that manner. God began to deal with my heart about, does your faith affect you? Are you one of those Christians that can come to church when you want to and lay out when you don't want to come? Are you one of those Christians that can come to church and do nothing? And claim to be serving God. Friend, real faith will have some effect on your life day by day.